Good morning. Today's daf from Chulin's Kuf Chaf, 120. We are on Kuf Yud Tesamud Beis. We are discussing the halachas of Shomer and Yad. We're really discussing the halachas of Tumas Ochlin. When you have a food, an edible food, so it has the ability now to become susceptible to Tumah. It itself is not a source of Tumah, but nevertheless, so if it comes into contact with an Avatumah, or even for that matter, even with a Vlada Tumah. But given that it is the right level of Tumah that came into contact with it, it will become Tameh. So, and as a food can become Tameh, it can import Tumah, it can export Tumah to another food. And what we learned back in the Mishnah, in the beginning of this parak, the ninth parak of Chulin, is that there are things which are not necessarily food, but nevertheless can be the conductor of that Tumah. So, and over the course of the last 2 days, since the beginning of the parak, we introduced ourselves to two ideas, one being a yad, the other one being a shomer. A yad is a handle. Anytime you have something that is connected to the food that serves as its handle, so it's literally the way I handle the food is through this item. Classic example that we've been discussing a number of times is, let's say, for example, the bone of an animal. So the drumstick of of the leg of an animal. So the bone of the animal now is going to be a yad. That yad is not going to contribute towards the amount of food. It's not going to be mitzarif, but it will be conductor of the tumah in both directions. Lahachdus lahotzi, to import the tumah into the food and to export the tumah out of the food. Additionally, what we also discussed is a shomer. A shomer is anything that serves to protect the food, a peel around a food. So the peel around the fruit is not only going to be a conductor of the tumah, and the Gemara says a kal v'chomer, meaning if a yad is a conductor, a shomer for sure is going to be a conductor. But on top of that, in addition to that, the shomer is also going to be mitzarif. It will combine now to get you to a shear. So if the food itself does not have a kibetza, and food needs a kibetza in order to transmit tumah from one food to another food, and according to Rashi throughout most of Shas, even for the importation of tumah, the food has to be the size of a kibetza, the shomer itself will add and be mitzarif to get you to the shear of a kibetza. Those are the two basic ideas that we've been discussing in the last couple of days. What we learned in yesterday's daf is that a shomer is only a shomer if it's in direct contact with the food. If I have a shomer, al gabe shomer. If I have one shomer on top of another shomer, so that secondary shomer does not have the status of shomer. Only the one that is actually in contact with the food. The Gemara's example yesterday was with an onion. So the Braisa describes there are basically three outer layers of the onion, three outer peels of the onion. So going from in to out, so the third to last is going to be the actual onion itself. And that, of course, is tameh. Not because it's a shomer, but the actual ochel. The one around that can be serving as a shomer if it's not perforated. And the one around that is for sure not a shomer, because that is now the shomer agabi shomer, and that for sure is not going to work. It's not going to serve as a shomer. This is what we've been discussing the last couple of days. We are picking it up where we left off yesterday, right in the middle of Kuf Yud Tesamud Beis, with the word gufa. The Gemara now is going to go back and discuss. And here we're going to be discussing a braisa that we talked about yesterday. This braisa, unusual case, but speaks to a very powerful idea of conduction like we've been discussing. And that is that I have human remains. I have basically two bones of a human. The bones are basically on the threshold of a house. Some of the bone is inside the house. Some of the bone is outside the house. On the outer portion of the bone, so you have human remains, actual mace, flesh. On each bone I have not a full kezias, but a chatzi kezias. And so now the question becomes twofold. One, so do we assume conduction? Do we assume now that the mace that is outside the house is going to be conducted through the bone into the house and now get into the interior of the house, so now the mace is under the roof through conduction? Two, is do I say now that these two half kezesim are going to combine in order to get me to the requisite shear? We're only going to have tumas ohel if you have a kezias of mace underneath the roof. So is this conduction going to allow both pieces of the flesh to go into the house and combine in order to get me to the shear of a kezias of mace that is under the ohel, under the roof?
Are the bones touching?
No, the bones are not touching.
But it would matter if it touches?
It's a great question. Unsure. I could go in either direction. I don't know. So this is a case that we discussed earlier, and it was a machlokes hatanaim. Whether or not we're going to make both points. One is that we're going to talk about conduction, and two, we're going to also be mitzarif. And let's go back. Gufa, the Gemara goes back to this and discusses it again. So there are two bones, and on each bone you have a chasi kezayis v'hichnas roshem shniyim labais, and the other end of the bone is going into the house. V'habais ma'ahil aleihem. And obviously now the interior of the house serves as a roof over the unfleshed portion of the bone. Habayis tameh. So according to the Tanakhama, the house is tameh for the reasons that we articulated. Both conduction and hitzdarfus. Yehuda ben Nekusa omer mishum Rabbi Yaakov heich shnei atzamos mitzdarfa lechazayis. And he says no. And the point of contention, and this seems to be the simple reading of the Gemara, and Rashi in yesterday's daf said it very clearly, is that he doesn't dispute the idea of conduction. He's disputing the idea of hitzdarfus, meaning that yes, there will be conduction, but there won't be conduction and hitzdarfus, and so they cannot combine.
What does that do? They're conducting what?
So each one of them is conducting a lesson a shir. And so neither of them by themselves is able to create the Tumas Ohel,
right.
And he doesn't and not mitzarif, meaning he disagrees with the Tanakhama. That's a chiddush.
So, So that was the Gemara's
discussion yesterday between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of the shir, and the Gemara brought this up as part of the discussion. That's correct. Yeah, but that's the surim, and this is Tumah Tahara. So you're right, not necessarily. Okay. Am Reish Lakish Loshanu Ola Etzem Dahaviyad Aval Nima Lo Haviyad. And so right away, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish disagree about the following. A bone is certainly a handle. That goes without saying. And fine. Let's say we were to take out the bone and replace it with the hair. Okay, now granted, by the way, we'd be looking at a long strand of hair that'd be going from outside the house to inside the house. But okay, but the case itself is not as important as the concept. And that is, can we view a strand of hair as a handle? So Reish Lakish makes an argument and he says, no. A strand of hair is not considered a yad. And Rav Yochanan, Omer, Afilu, Nima, Have, Yad. And Rav Yochanan says a strand of hair can be viewed as a yad. And so therefore, according to Rav Yochanan, if you have a strand of hair attached to the flesh, and that strand of hair now goes into the house, so much like the bone is a conduction of that tumah, so would the strand of hair be a conduction of that tumah. Now the obvious question that you're going to ask of Rav Yochanan is, I understand a bone being a handle, but a strand of hair being a handle, I pick it up through the strand of hair. It's a little challenging. The Gemara, however, goes in the direction of Rav Yochanan. Eitzer Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish based on the following. Or sheish lava kezayis basar. If I have a hide, and this hide is connected to a kezayis of flesh, hanogeya b'tzivah yotzi mimenu v'sa'ara shechenegda tame. If I were to either touch, either a sliver of meat that is protruding through the other side of the hide. So in other words, not touching the hide itself, but a sliver of meat, so that would be tummy. And in other words, you're touching the meat, you're touching the actual flesh. And Or B, I touch a hair follicle that is on the hide. So in other words, I have flesh, then hide, and then this hair. And I'm touching the hair. So the Braisa says, you're going to be Tameh. Now, when you touch this hair, how did you become Tameh? So my love Mishum Yad. So the Gemara says, well, what the hair is serving is a handle. In other words, I'm going to be picking up the flesh by picking it up through the hair. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. La Mishum Shomer. The hair is serving as a Shomer. The Gemara says, that can't be. Umi Ika Shomer Agabi Shomer. So the Gemara says, you know that can't be because even if you're going to view it as a Shomer, which in of itself admittedly is challenging, right, that single follicle hair is going to be serving as some sort of protectant of the flesh. Okay, well, the Gemara right now, yes. In other words, you're right. Right now, the Gemara is viewing it as a protectant of the skin, but the Gemara immediately is going to reject that because that's shomer gabi shomer. And then eventually the Gemara is going to say, that the hair follicle goes all the way through the hide and touches the meat. And that's why it's not a shomer gabi shomer. But still, in other words, just the obvious point that it is still challenging to look at the hair as a shomer, meaning as a handle, maybe, but again, even that's also challenging. We know it's something because clearly the Braisa says that when you touch the hair, you're going to become tameh. So certainly the hair is a conduction. How is it conducting? Via what? So again, yad, the Gemara says, maybe, but we could also suggest shomer. Shomer, however, the Gemara says that shomer, gabi shomer, that doesn't work. So the Gemara continues, chachul mechalchal. So the Gemara says that really the hair follicle is going through the hide and actually directly making contact with the flesh. And that is how the hair could be viewed as a shomer. Okay, and not a shomer, gabi shomer. To which the Gemara says, maskala ravacha by Yaakov elamiyata tfilin hecha kasvinan. So that means to say that, and it's a really strange Gemara, because it's kind of like the Gemara is like all of a sudden realizing that hair follicles go through the hide. Meaning the Gemara always knew that. But, okay, in terms of the presentation of the information, it's coming like piecemeal, but, okay, now that we're here, and now that we know that the hair follicles go through the hide, so now, question, how do you take hide and write and write stam on the hide? So write Sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzah. How do you write on the hide? So the hide, by definition, are going to have holes in the hide where the hair follicles once upon a time were. V'habi in k'siva tam avaleka. So we notice that one of the basic halachas regarding stam, it has to be k'siva tam. The writing has to be a complete writing. You cannot have breaks in the letters. The letters have to be whole and complete. And so if I have now a hole in the hide, so isn't that going to be a break in the letter? So the Gemara's answer is no. It's a simple answer. No. It's not going to be a break in the letter. Ishtamita de hada amri b'marav. You forgot what they said in Eretz Yisrael. Kol nekev shadyo over alav eino nekev. If it's a hole, but the quill can go over that hole. So in other words, the hole is certainly discernible, but it's so small that the quill just goes right over it. That does not offend the rule of k'siva tama. It still is viewed as a complete writing. Okay. Ibai zema kulim mishum yad. The Gemara says, you know what? Let's go back to our hair. Again, the hair is on the hide, which is connected to the flesh. I touch the hair, and I'm going to become tame. Hair is conducting the tumah. That's a given. That's a fact. The only question is, how is the hair conducting the tumah? So right now, we've been arguing shomer. The Gemara says, let's go back and argue yad. Now, again, this is really challenging, because you're picking up the entire piece of meat and the hide by picking up one strand of hair. So the Gemara's answer is very simple. Kedda amar rebi el-ai. It's not one strand of hair, but rather it is a patch of hair. And so what you're doing is you're picking up that clump of hair in one particular area, and that could be viewed as a handle. And Rabbi Eli answers this question in another context. What's the other context? Funny you should ask. We're talking now about basically the bristles of hair that grow off of a stalk. And right, when you peel that corn, if you can just imagine that hair, right? I think we're, you know, if we're all looking at the same thing, right? In this imagination that I just created, so the mil'esha b'shibalim mitam im umetamim. So it's going to import the tumah, it's going to export the tumah. It's basically conduction of tumah. V'ena mitstarfin. Now it's not going to combine to the shear. So already now we know it's a yad. It's not a shomer. Good. Now it's a yad. How is these strands of hair going to be a yad? So the Gemara says, and if we're looking at one of these hairs of the ear of corn, so that's really going to serve as a handle. And here we go. No, it's not one strand of hair. It's a clump of hairs. And so therefore, with a clump of hairs, I could easily pick up the ear with this clump of hairs. Same thing regarding the hide. It's not one strand of hair. It's a clump of hairs. And I can pick it up using picking up the clump of hairs. Okay. Now, the next, I'd say almost half of Amud of Gemara is going to be all this information repeated. It's just different formats. And the Gemara, you know, the Gemara is exhaustive in terms of making sure that if there was another version of the discussion, we're going to present the other version of the discussion. I'm going to go through this rather quickly, as right now we're basically going to be hearing all these points again and again, just simply in a somewhat different layout. Lishna Achrina, in another version. The strand of hair is really serving as a shomer. Because if it was a yad, so then how could it be servicing as a handle? So the Gemara says, because it's not one hair, it's a strand of hairs. So if I have the hairs of the ear of corn. It imports tuma, it exports tuma, the emet starfin, and it's not going to combine. Malayin lamaychazi, and if it's just one strand of hair, how is that helpful? How is that serving as a handle? Am Rabbi La bim lay shabin malayim. So we're talking about not one hair, but a strand of hairs. Ika demasni la am masnisin. Again, we're going to do the same thing again. We're going to basically run through the same information. The starting point is going to be our Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the ninth parak of Chulin. However, I wrote the Vakipa. So, and let's also add Atzamos and the bones, meaning that's part of the Mishnah, and that's really what we're commenting on right now, on the Atzamos, right? That's the Vechulei. So mitzdarfin latami tamas ochlin. So that will be mitzdarf for tamas ochlin. Mam reish lakish l'shanu ala etzem da'avi shomer. Now, obviously, if we're talking about tzir, if we have to be talking about a shomer, the bone in question over here has to be a shomer. Aval nima lo, avi shomer. But a nima is not going to be a shomer. Rav Yochanan amar afilo nima nami avi shomer. And Rav Yochanan says that a hair is going to be a shomer. Amle reish lakish Rav Yochanan miika shomer agabi shomer. So the Gemara says, how can that be? If the hair is on the hide, which is on the meat, so that is going to be your secondary shomer, and there's no such thing. It doesn't have, not that there's no such thing, let me say it better. There's no status for the secondary shomer. So chachula mechalcha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the hair follicle goes through the hide. So maskev ravacha, lamiata tefillin hechikasvinan. Well, if it goes through the hide, so that means that you have a holy parchment. Right? Pun not only intended, but take me literally. So the Vahabi Inak Sivatama, Valeka. And isn't that going to be a rule breaker regarding Sivatama? The Gemara says Ishtimute Hadam Rebamarava. Again, you forgot that which was said in Eretz Yisrael, Kol Nekev Shadio Over Alavein or Nekev. That if I have a hole where the ink just runs right over the hole is so small that the quill just runs right over it, that is not considered a Nekev, and that's not a violation of Sivatama. Once again, we quote this brisa another time, and that is that when I have a hide that is on flesh, on a kazayis of flesh, and I either touch a sliver of meat coming through the hide, or I touch a hair, so I'm going to be tame. My love mishum shomer. Now, isn't that hair serving as a shomer? Lo mishum yad. The Gemara says it's serving as a yad. Nima achas amaychazia. It's one hair. That could really be a handle. So, Kedam Rabbi Elai, Mim Malaysia ben Malayim, Hachanam, Mim Benim, Shabin Hanimim. It's not one hair, it's a clump of hairs. Vehechi Itma de Rabbi Elai, Ahadanan, Malaysia, Bishibal, Mitam Im, Mitam Im, Vein Mitstarfin. And over here, once again, we turn to our ear of corns with the hair, and that hair is going to be serving as a conduction of the Tumah. It's not going to be Mitstarif, so we know that those hair, that hair is a yad. Malay Lamaychazia, Amir Rabbi Elai, Bim Malaysia ben Malayim. And again, it's not one hair, but it's multiple hairs. Okay, and that's why it could serve as a handle. Adkan. That takes us through the end of that sugya, and now we're up to the next item. Now, you go back to the Mishnah, and you remember that in the Mishnah, there were eight items that are mentioned in the Mishnah that accessorize the food, and are therefore going to be servicing the food, and are going to be mestari for the sheer ochlin. Again, tumas ochlin, you need a kabetza. These items mentioned in the Mishnah, eight items mentioned in the Mishnah, are there to service. Now, I would say that all these items mentioned in the Mishnah are shomrim. But as we're going to see, as it will become evident in the Gemara's definition of some of them, that's not true. Not all of them are going to be a shomer. Now, I struggle a little bit with these Gemara's because if it's not shomer and it's not a yad, so then what is it? Meaning halachically. Meaning we'll know what they are definitionally, but categorically what are they? So for most of them, it's a shomer. But for some of them, you'll see, I'm going to struggle a little bit. But that's fine. Yes, I understand. I'm with you. I agree with you. It says serif. So it's the food itself? Well, you'll see why we can't say that. In fact, the Gemara is going to say that we can't say that. Because if it's food itself, so then, right, why is it combining? Meaning it is food. Good. So it exists somewhere between being not a food, but an accessory to the food. But to say it's a shomer, again, you'll see. Right. Well, it's a yad is not mitzvah. Right. So it's something. Right. Okay. Good. Good. Hopefully you'll do better than me in terms of giving definition to categorically what they are. But in terms of the definition, that's going to become clear. Okay. So we're up to item number two. We're up to the rotef. Now rotef is sauce, right? In other words, it's gravy. Gravy. So you go to Israel and. The meat's a little bit dry, and you ask for a little bit of rotev, and so they'll put some gravy. They'll give you a little gravy to go along with it. But obviously, we're talking about the Mishnah. We're giving definition to what the Mishnah is describing over here. So what is Rotev? So that's a great question. The Gemara says, my Rotev, Amarava, Shumna. So the Gemara's first definition of what the Rotev is that it's Shuman. It's some sort of fat. Right? Shuman sha'al hamarak. Okay, so basically, it's some sort of congealed fat. So Amalei Abaye, hu atma yitma tumas ochlin. So Abaye says that's a terrible definition of the Mishnah. That's not accessorizing the food. That is food. The congealed fat, again, I'm not speaking to the nutritional benefit of it, but it's delicious. And it's food. So that's a poor definition of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is clearly talking about things that are accessorizing and not the actual food itself. Ella, now here in the Gemara, we have the word chelev. Now, to say chelev is probably incorrect, because even though the word literally spelled chelev ches lamed beis, and certainly it's not chalev. So it's chelev dekarish, so we're talking about some sort of gel or jelly. Now, we're not talking about the chelev that we've been discussing for most of our masechta, because that's, of course, usser. And the Mishnah wouldn't be describing that as something for Tumas Ochlin. So we're talking, right. So, and we're not talking about the fat, because the Gemara just dismissed that. So what we're talking about over here is some sort of liquid juice that's coming out of the meat. Okay, and Rashi, chelev dekarish, Lacha hayotze min abasar. Shekorin, and for those who speak French, maybe you can recognize the word of Rashi, but it's some sort of jelly coming out of the meat. Okay, interesting, by the way, on the side of the Gemara, he quotes in the name of the Aruch that he doesn't even have the girsa of chelev, but he has rather chala de karish, some sort of liquid vinegar. Okay, again, it's an accessory to the meat. Now, my irya karish kilo karish nami. The Gemara says, why is it that this liquid coming out of the meat has to gel? Even if it didn't gel. So the Gemara says, on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat. That we all know. Okay, good. And on Yom Kippur, how much do you eat in order to violate the Isser of Losu Nebi Yom Hazeh, Be'etzem Yom Hazeh? So you have to eat the size of a Kosevis, right? Larger than a Kazai, smaller than a Kabetza. The shear of a kosevis, right, a date. Now, in order to violate the Isser of Yom Kippur, it can either come through eating or through drinking. Over here, we're talking about eating a vegetable that has a little bit of sap, liquid sap that's on the vegetable. What we're learning together right now, according to Reish Lakish, is that if I eat the vegetable with the sap and the two combined, get me to the shear of a kosevis, you're violating Yom Kippur. So you see over here that the liquid sap is considered food. Why then do we have to explain that the kippah of our Mishnah, the rotev of our Mishnah is something which is gelled. Even if it's not gelled, it should still be considered food. So the Gemara says, well, let's not compare. Hasa mishum yisuvei daitehu becholdehu, miyasvei daite. Hacha mishum isterufehu, ikarish mitzarif, ilo karish lo mitzarif. Different criteria for Yom Kippur and Tumas Ochlin. For Yom Kippur, the violation of the Torah is Yishev Hadas, meaning right now I'm uncomfortable because I haven't eaten in some time. And so once we go from uncomfortable to comfortable, so that is what's called Yishev Hadas, that's the violation of Yom Kippur. The Torah never says on Yom Kippur, don't eat. The Torah says, V'inisem esnafsho seichem. That we have to do is that we have to become uncomfortable on Yom Kippur. That's the goal of Yom Kippur. And so therefore, once we eat the amount of food that gets to the point of comfort, Yishev Hadas, so then that's a violation. The Chachamim gauged, and Rashi, by the way, read the Rashi over here. It's really, really powerful Lashon of Rashi. The Chachamim gauged that when you eat the vegetable with the sap, even though one's a solid and the other's a liquid, that's going to arrive at the point of Yishev Hadas. Masha Enkin, when it comes to Tumas Ochlin, there, it's a real formality. By Tumas Ochlin, I need food and a composite of a certain amount of food. So therefore, I can't take liquid and solid and mix them together in order to get to that amount. Tumas Ochlin is just simply a din, that I need this much food. And so therefore, it has to be solid and solid. It cannot be liquid combined with solid. Okay.
I'm confused. Yom Kippur, we're talking about food.
Yes.
Here is a non-food. It's either a yad or a shomer or something else.
Now you're with me. Good. Now join my little club over here in terms of trying to figure out what it is. Meaning, it's not a yad. I would say also it's not a shomer. What is it?
It's food.
Right. In other words, right. The Gemara, you saw Abai immediately dismiss the idea that it's congealed fat because that's food. So now, categorically, where does it belong? That's why I'm already there. So, by all means, join me. Right. Correct. Correct. That's a good point. That's a good point. Phil's raising the issue of that. If you break your fast immediately at the start of Yom Kippur. So you are right. That's providing Yishev Adas. Okay, it's a good point, but it'd be also throughout Yom. We know it's also throughout Yom Kippur. But in terms of the Gemara's Hesber, you're correct. Hakipa. We're up to now the third item of the Mishnah. Okay, you know it's going to get tricky when we get to the Alal. But the good news is that we don't have to worry about the Alal today. That comes up in tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow's daf is dedicated to the Alal. But anyway, we're up to now the discussion of Kippa. What is Kippa? So my Kippa, so Amar Rabba Pirma. So right now the Gemara is entertaining the idea that Kippa is basically dregs of meat. Right? When you cook meat well, you cook it in a pan or you cook it in a pot. So you know that there are going to be pieces of meat, dregs of meat that are going to fall to the bottom. And again, by the way, if I can just insert my own personal note over here, delicious. Right? They're the best parts. So meanwhile, the Gemara is describing that as the definition of a Mishnah. Now you know what's going to happen right now. So Amarle Abai Hu Atzma Yitma Tumas Ochlin. And again, Abai comes in, second time in today's daf, and says, that's not a chiddush, that's food. Meaning we're trying to explain or describe things that accessorize food, and they're going to be mitzarif towards Tumas Ochlin. So mitzarif towards Tumas Ochlin, you can't call it the dregs of meat. The dregs of meat are Ochlin. So that can't be what the Mishnah is describing. So Ella. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we rejected that possibility. Elam Rav Papa Tavlin. So Rav Papa says that we're talking about spices. Now, if I may, I'm gonna suggest over here that when we talk about spices, we're talking about those spices that in and of themselves they're not eaten. Right? You come across a bay leaf. Okay, now I'm gonna show off my culinary expertise, which is really far from expertise. But in other words, but you have the bay leaf. Okay, now you're not going to be eating the bay leaf in and of itself. It's a leaf, and you're not going to eat it. But meanwhile, right, it's thrown into a soup, it's thrown into a dish, and it gives it a flavor, and it's delicious in the flavor that is. And meanwhile, so that is the kind of thing that the Mishnah is describing according to Rav Papa. Right? These foods that in of themselves are not consumed, but are eaten in conjunction with the food themselves. And again, right, Rabbi Berman, I'll say this now again. Like, ask me which category fits in, right? It's not a yad, it's not a shomer, and so, right, it's mitzarif, meaning it becomes now part and parcel of the food, even though it itself is not food or an edible food per se. Okay, so, again, not everything in the Mishnah is a shomer. That's clear. But then ask me what it is. I can tell you what it's not. Ask me what it is. So this is my struggle in today's daf. Okay, Tanan Hassam. Okay, now the Gemara is going to launch into a discussion. And let's just, a quick introduction to the discussion, really interesting discussion coming up. And that is taking foods and moving them from their natural state into another state. Okay, and right now we're going to be talking today liquid solids. Okay, gas is not going to be part of the discussion in today's daf. We're just going to be talking about the states of liquid and solid. Now, how do foods come in their natural form? So things like, for example, blood. Blood come in the liquid state. Okay, but you can convert it into a solid. The chalef. Right, the hard fats of an animal, they normally come in a solid state. But you cook them and you can render them into a liquid form. And so the Gemara is going to have a discussion, and it's not just chalev and dam. There'll be other isur mentioned in today's daf as well, where basically I'm going to take a food that comes in one natural state and I'm going to transfer it through, you know, heat or whatever mechanism, but generally heat, and I'm going to move it into another state. And I'm going to then consume it, and the question now is, do I violate the Torah by eating it in another state? Now, in general, so when I move things from one state to another, it really doesn't normally change the Isser, per se. But over here, however, my best guess is going to be that because these items normally present themselves naturally in one state, changing it to another state would be enough of a shinui. I know we're not talking about Shabbos, but still, it would be enough of a shinui where it doesn't conform to the Isser min HaTorah. I would certainly argue that it would be an Isser Midrabanan to eat in such a in a different state, but not an Isser Minatorah. And what we're going to be going over now this morning are notable exceptions, meaning because of a drusha, and we're going to see every time, it's going to be the same drusha every time, obviously different psukim, but it's going to be because of a drusha, so the Torah is now going to include the Isser to not only its natural state, but even also to converted states as well. Okay. And all based on a drasha. And the implication you get from the Gemara is that without the drasha, so then there would be no Isser min HaTorah to eat it in a different state. That's what is going to be clear from the upcoming Gemara. Why are these Gemaras over here? Meaning, this discussion that we're about to have is really not necessarily connected to our discussion. But nevertheless, though, we did talk about chelev. We did talk about jelly juice of meat. Okay, so I guess right, it's a pretty good place to put it into the Gemara.
Why would you have thought, Rabbi, that the Torah meant that you can't eat chelev raw? Of course you have to cook it.
No, we're not talking about raw versus cooked. We're talking about changing its...
When you cook it, it's in a different state.
Okay, the Gemara is assuming... I hear you. Look, just recently, I'm reinforcing your question. I'm not answering your question. I'm making things worse. But the when we talked about the extraction of blood through roasting, so we talked about the drip pan underneath. Now, that drip pan underneath is obviously catching the fat in its liquid state, not in a solid state. And so over there, like the Gemara for a moment never entertained, oh, you change the state, therefore the Isser is converted. Now it happens to be that my example is not the best example because, as we're going to see in our Gemara, Chelev happens to be one of those Isserim where changing its state is not going to matter. It's going to be us in both examples, both in liquid and in solid. But that's because of a drasha. And again, I'm reiterating the point, without the drasha, it sounds like there would have only been an Isser only in its natural state. Of a solid. Okay. Tanan Hasam. Hikfa Sadam Vachla O Shahim Chesachel Vigamo Chayev. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Okay, it's a Braisa, it's not a Mishnah, but in any event. The Gemara quotes a Tanaitic passage. How about that? So Hikfa Sadam, if I take blood and I solidify the blood, or if I take Chelev and I liquefy the Chelev, in both cases, ingestion of either one of them would be Chayev. Now there is an important point, by the way, it's technical, but it's important, and that how do we solidify the blood? So through heat. Now Rashi says that you cooked it. Now Tosfos says it can't be, because once you cook blood, it's no longer an Isser min HaTorah, it's only an Isser min DeRabbanan. Okay, so, and again, an important discussion, but I'm just going to stick with the basic point of the Gemara, which is converting things from its natural state. Moving something from a liquid to a solid, like blood, are moving from something from a solid to a liquid like chelev. Now, bishlam hikves adam v'achlu kevin de akve achshave achashve. So the Gemara says, look, when it comes to the solidifying of blood, that I totally understand. Because by solidifying it, you've actually given it more significance. Now, I don't fully understand why it's more significant, turning something liquid to a solid. The Gemara clearly is working with an assumption that a solid state is a more significant state than that of a liquid state. Okay, the Gemara says that I get. But so the Gemara says, but here's what I don't understand. What I don't understand is that if you take chelev and you liquefy it by heating it and liquefying it, so you didn't improve it. In other words, you rendered it now into a liquid. And the Torah says regarding chelev, lo sochlu, don't eat it. And eating assumes that it's in a solid state. So v'halav achilahi, and this is not achila. Amrish lakish, amakra nefesh rabba sasashosa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when the Torah introduces us to the Isser, last week's parsha, when the Torah introduces us to the Isser of chelev, the Torah says nefesh. So in other words, as long as your soul enjoyed it, so then you are violating the Isser of chelev. So here, by using the word nefesh, it does not matter which state it went down, whether it went down solid or liquid. Tanya nami gabi chametz. So far we've made the point once that taking something from a solid to a liquid normally would remove the Isser Achila, but by Chelev it does not because of the drasha. Here we go with the second round. If let's say you take chametz and you liquefy it. Now it's kind of hard to understand this. Basically, if we can try to imagine, you take your matzah and you soak it in not just water, but let's, you know, it could be even vinegar, where it's really going to turn it into a liquid. So im chametzu anashkari se matzahu ein adam yotze bo yidei chavasa bepesach. So taking your let's call it your pita, And you'll see why I use that word. So taking your pizza and turning it into a liquid and drinking it. So if the pizza was originally matzah, meaning it was unleavened. I know we think of matzah as these, you know, cardboard boxes. But, you know, back in the day, so the matzah was soft. So if it was unleavened, it was matzah. So you have now fulfilled your obligation of achilas matzah, the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Seder night. If it was leavened, if it was chametz, so one would be violating the isser of eating chametz on Pesach, and one would be subject to the regular kares penalty. Now, bishlami matzah hi ein adam yotzei ba'yedevachas ein adam yotzei ba'yedechavas be'pesach lechemoni amar rachmana. Now, in terms of not fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah, I get it. The Torah says it has to be lechem oni. It has to be bread. Hard, physical bread. V'haylav lechem oni hu. And if you reduce it now into a liquid state, that's not lechem. Elim chametzu en eskar v'sachilak siva bein. But here's what I don't understand. What I don't understand is that if it was leavened pizza and I liquefied it, so I'm violating the isser, how could I be violating the isser? The Torah says, don't eat chametz. Achila. So I'm Rish Lakish, I'm a Kran Nefesh, the Rabbah says a Shosa. And so for now, a second time, we have a drasha. The Torah in Parshas Bo, when introducing us to the Isser of Chametz, the Torah uses the words Nefesh. So as long as your soul appreciated and enjoyed the Chametz, you're violating the Isser. Tanya. Again, that right. It goes back to my introduction in that, generally speaking, we do say Shtiyah Bechlal Achila. But when these items are presented in one normal state, so then the Isser is for that state, unless the Torah gives us a drasha, which in these three examples the Torah does. And the third example. V'tanya namigabe nivlas of tahor. Now, you eat the carcass of a kosher bird that went on shechted. Nivlas of tahor. Now, first and foremost, of course, you're not allowed to eat it, because if you do so, you're eating nevela. But moreover, as we've discussed time and again throughout Shas, by eating a kezias of nivlas of tahor, you're going to become tame. Yeah. And this is an unusual transmission of tumah. Normally tumah is maga, or maso, or sometimes ohel. But over here, however, the Torah introduces us to an unusual transmission of tumah. By it going down your throat, you are now going to become tame. So over here,
it's not a form of masa.
So the achronim try to give categories to what it is. Right, it's masa with your mouth. Okay, could very well be the achronim do struggle here as well, trying to fit into the given categories that we know. Right, so himchal be'or tame bechama tahor. So if I took my carcass of a bird and I liquefied it, so if I did so with a fire, so one would become tame by ingesting it. It's liquid form. Sounds rather gross, but not nearly as gross as it being kept out in the hot sun, being reduced to a liquid, and then consuming that. And there you'd be tahor. Now, v'havinim ba'achilas ksivbe. Now, the Gemara says, now, I don't understand. Once you moved it from its solid state to its liquid state, so the Torah says, the Torah frames this tumah as achila. So, I'm Rish Lakish, I'm a Kran, nefesh l'rabba s'sashosa. And now for the third time, when the Torah, and this is in Parshas Achremos, Perek Yud Zayin, when the Torah tells us not to eat the nivlas of tahor, and in doing so will become tameh, the Torah uses the verb achila. Sorry. The Torah uses the word nefesh, which means that even though it normally comes in a solid state, I will become tameh even if I eat it in its liquid state. To which the Gemara asked the question, and everybody here knows the answer. Ihachi b'chama nami. So what difference does it make whether it becomes a liquid state through fire or through the hot sun? So the Gemara says, Bechama Isruche Misrach. The answer is, I'll add obviously, because if I allow it to turn liquid in the hot sun, so it's not just turning liquid, it's also rotting at the same time. And not only are you eating liquid bird, which in of itself sounds dreadful, but and on top of that is also now become Misriach, it's become rotted. So it's not even a food. It's not an achila. And so therefore, the difference between fire versus a hot sun is that in fire, you can convert the state from from solid to liquid and still make it somewhat edible, if you can imagine. But if you do so in the hot sun where it's going to rot, so it's not even a food. On three different occasions now, we have this idea that when I'm converting something from a solid state to a liquid state, so it is going to still be usur. Well, the third example is not really usur, although it is, but on top of that, it's also going to be tummy as well. Now, these three examples that are given over here, the Gemara says, are all necessary. Just because I've had one, I wouldn't have known the other two as well. Utzricha. And the Gemara now goes through its classic discussion. Now, chalev and chametz, although they're both isuri kares, but still, I would not learn that one from the other. Chalev is also from the point of origination. From the moment that the animal starts forming in utero, its chalev is now starts to develop. Although, we can argue, though, that the isur does not actually materialize until it's born. But still, from the time of birth, that chalev is going to be asur. Masha'enkin, when it comes to chametz, for most of the year, it's mutter, and on Pesach, it becomes asur. So you can't learn that one from the other. Nevela lo asimine shekein enoch kares. And I can't learn out nevela from it because these are isuri kares. Because of rechman chametz, chelev lo asimine. Now, if I had chametz, I couldn't learn out chelev from chametz shekein lo huter michlalo. Because as opposed to chelev, chametz has no exception. Chelev, of course, has a major exception. The chelev of chay would be mutter. And I can learn, and I cannot learn out nevela from them because there is no isur of karis when it comes to nevela. Because of rachmana ben nevela hanachlo asya minei shekain mitama. Now I can't learn from nevela because in the case of nevela there is obviously tumah to discuss. Meanwhile, by chametz and by chelev there is no tumah. Chanam echad lo asya tesi chanam itarte hay tesi. So the Gemara says, okay. Now, I can't learn out one from the other, but how about making a binyan av mishnei ksuvin, using the combined characteristics of two of these three. Lo lichtov rechmana ben nevela v'taisi mehanach. Let's leave nevela out. Nivlas of tahor. And let's just have chelev and chametz. But the Gemara says, ma lahanach shekein anish kares. The Gemara says, we can't do that because that's an issur kares by these two, which by nevela there's no issur kares. Lo lichtov rechmana ben chametz v'taisi mehanach. Let's leave out chametz. And let's learn it out from Nevela and Chelev. So the Gemara says, Malahanach Shekein Lo Haisalan Shasa Kosher. Okay, they did not have a Shasa Kosher, but meanwhile, Chametz, of course, did have a Shasa Kosher. Lo Lichtov Rechman B'Chelev. Let's leave out Chelev and learn out Chelev from the other two. V'taisi Mahanach Malahanach Shekein Lo Hotu Mechlalo. Tamar B'Chelev Shotu Mechlalo. I can't learn out from these two to Chelev because Chelev is a notable exception. The Chelev of Chayev is going to be Mutter. Umayninu. So nevela nami ishtare melikas of legavoa. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. So what exactly do we mean when we say that by chelev there's a heter? If we're talking about the heter of chelev behema legavoa, meaning what the Gemara now is suggesting is that the heter of chelev is that the chelev of a behema is permitted towards the Mizbeach, meaning that the Mizbeach is allowed to consume Chelev. Now, again, that's a really strange way to talk about a heter, meaning because, but we normally see the Mizbeach as a consumer, and yes, we do have a rule that what goes on to the Mizbeach is only things that are consumable to you and I. But we know Chelev is a rule breaker, meaning we know that Chelev we're not allowed to eat, and we also know that chelev is one of the imurim that are placed on the mizbeach. But still, what the Gemara is now trying to argue is that the heter of chelev behema is that it goes on to the mizbeach. So nevela nami ishtar malika sof legavoa. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's your argument, so I'll counter with the following. Do you know what we do with every bird that's brought as a karban? We render it a nevela by doing malika, and we offer it on the mizbeach. Now, again, if we just pause for a moment and think about that, that's really unusual. Meaning, what do we normally assume about Malika? In the Beis HaMikdash, Malika is Shechita. And then, in other words, in the Mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdash, that's just simply the form of Shechita. Clearly, what the Gemara is arguing is, not necessarily. What we could say is that, no, Malika is not a form of Shechita, but in the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah allows for the Kohanim to consume the bird that was Nimlak, even though that's not Shechita. Okay. Ve'ela chelev chaya lehejo. So the Gemara says, oh, I know what the heter of chelev is. The heter of chelev, of course, is chelev chaya, which, by the way, I kept repeating again and again because That's how we normally assume. So nevela nami shtar malikas the chatas of the kohanim. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me that there's a heter of chelav. I'll counter with there's a heter of nevela. Heter of nevela, sure, because the kohanim eat the bird chatas meat. And again, if we're looking at malika not as a substitute shchita, but really malika is not a substitute shchita, and really the bird is the nevela. The Torah gives allowance for the kohanim to eat the nevelas bird of the Beis HaMikdash. So the olam chelav chaya lehejot. So the Gemara says, okay, when we're talking about the heter of chelav, we of course mean the chelav chaya, which we originally assumed. Udi kakashalach kohanim, kohanim mishuchin gavo kazachu. Now what about the kohanim and their heter of eating the bird? It's not their heter of eating the bird. It's really a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they're just eating mishuchin kavoa. So the heter is not coming from... It's a little tricky how to say this. Rashi, I'm reading the Rashi inside. Mishuchin gavoa zachu, v'heter mishum gavoa hu. Aval agabi hejot, lo ashkechan dehoter. The heter is really coming from above, meaning it's not even their food they're eating. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's food. But in other words, their heter is not directly given to them, and so therefore... It's not a parallel to compare the chelav of a chaya to the nevela of a chatas bird. Okay, yeah, correct. It's right. It's very well said. Spiritual food. V'haditanya. So the Gemara says, okay. Now, what about the following brisa? So the Gemara says, remember what we learned not so long ago: the juice that comes out of a sheretz, right? It's gross on top of gross. The sheretz already something that doesn't appeal to us. And meanwhile, the juice that comes out of it, the tzir, the rot of the kippah, so that also is going to have the same status. The Gemara says, now it's interesting. We have a drasha, right? The hatmeim, if you remember Rashi earlier. Rashi says that we learn from the extra hay. Rashi actually says it again on this stuff as well. So, lamali ligmar mehani. So the Gemara says, tricha. So the Gemara says, no, I can't learn out the juice sheretz from the above mention, because the ilo kasa rachmana hava mina dialova mina din lioskin adon mahasam adiki kazayas avachanami adiki kazayas. Because the Gemara says, take the following into consideration. When I'm learning now a limud from one to another, so we always are capped from what the source is. So the sources in these examples are chelev, chametz on Pesach, nivlas of tahor. In all three of these examples, so the requisite amount in order to be chayv is going to be a kezias. So over here, if I were to take now the halacha and move it over to sheretz, so we are now capped. Meaning, a dial of omin adin lioskenado, meaning to say that the halacha that I'm learning towards can't be any better than what I'm learning from. And since I'm learning from halachas that require kezias here too, I would only be liable if I had a kezias. But remember, we're talking here about a sheretz. And what's the shear of a sheretz? So it's ka'adasha. Oh, in other words, you're right. If you're talking about an ant, you're right. But if we're talking about a bigger sheretz, so the shear is a ka'adasha. So adi ka'kazayis, afachanami adi ka'kazayis. V'lichtov rachmana bishratzim, v'leiso hanach v'ligmur minayhu. So the Gemara says, okay, why don't we go in the other direction? Why don't we have the drasha by shratzim, and now transfer over the halacha that a sheretz converted into its liquid state. Now, if that's going to be true, so then I can move over to these other halachas that we've been discussing previously. So the Gemara says, no. So the Gemara says, no, because you have a chumrah when it comes to a sheretz, and that is the metame b'mashehu. Now, the Gemara uses the word mashehu. It's not really a mashehu, but in other words, significantly less than a kezias. Let's pause over here. I know we're a little bit behind. But let's pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up, and we will continue along this line. So, just a quick recap today. So we finish up the discussion of how to view the hair coming out of the hide of an animal. Could be a shomer, could be a yad, depending on whether it's one hair, whether it's a patch of hairs. Machlokus Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. That was the first topic for today. Secondly, we went to the second item of our mission, the rotev. So what is the rotev? Basically, it's jellied juice meat. We talked then about the kippah. So what is the kippah? So they are the spices. Again, my struggles for today's daf is, categorically, what are they? Right, the rotev and the kippah. It's not a shomer, it's not a yad, it's not the actual food itself, so it exists something in between. And finally, the last discussion today is eating foods that are in converted states, from being converted from a solid to a liquid. And so we had, over the course of this morning, four drushas.